to welcome the man that designed the Olympic golf course, Gil Hance, to the program. Gil, how are you doing?
I'm great, guys. Thanks. Yeah, you're making me blush. Stop that.
you're making us proud. You've done way more than this, by the way. Some of the great designs out there. You know the major topic. You're the last guy that anybody in this business wants to offend or make feel bad. How does all this Olympic hoopla hit you?
Well, I think, you know, the players withdrawing, it's obviously disappointing because, you know, when we design a golf course, you'd like to see the top players in the world play on the design, especially one, you know, specifically designed for an event where we anticipated they would show up. But obviously they all have their, you know, personal reasons why they've decided not to come. So it's difficult to argue with that. But I think, you know, ultimately disappointed would be from our perspective. But, you know, the thing that is overlooked is we are going to have the best players in the world play our golf course, and, you know, but they're going to all be on the ladies' side. And we're also still going to have a very strong men's field. And, you know, I don't think golf will be embarrassed when those gold medals are placed around the necks of whoever wins. I think we'll still get great champions on both sides.
Well, a lot of that is going to be dictated by your design, by your golf course. And you mentioned men's and ladies. Was there moments during the design process where you looked at it and say, this is going to be great for the men, but it won't work for the ladies, so we can't do it. We have to do this or that or some other thing, knowing specifically what you were designing the golf course for? Because that has to be a rarity to know exactly what the purpose of the golf course is.
Well, it's true, and I think we, you know, we looked at it. We had Amy Alcott as our design consultant, and she's obviously a Hall of Famer and understands ladies golf as well as anybody can. So Amy was great in helping us to try to figure out how we could make the golf course play well and strategically for both sets of players. You know, I think the overriding concern we had was to try to replicate the types of shots. You know, if we're asking the men to hit driver 7-iron into a hole and we've designed it as such, we need to sort of have the ladies play a similar type shot. And that meant, you know, getting the landing areas in different places. And so on certain holes, you know, the men's landing areas are guarded by bunkers and the ladies are not. And, you know, sometimes it's landforms or hollows or humps or obscured visibility that become the difficult option for one class or the other, because you didn't want to design a golf course with, you know, 80 yards of bunkers strung out so that they would impact the men and also the ladies. I think that would, you know, be difficult to maintain. I don't think it would really show creativity in the design. So, you know, given the fact that we're really trying to get them to play similar shots, we feel the green complexes have been designed to accept those types of shots. And I think giving sort of different challenges from the different landing areas was really the main challenge we faced.
What did you learn from the test event back in March?
That that there are some really good Brazilian professionals. You know, they can play golf. It's, you know, you listen, you hear all the time, Web.com Tour, Latino America Tour, Syngenta Tour, and you think, okay, minor leagues. But, boy, the players at that level are still so good. And you know, most of the players, while they were Brazilian descent, you know, they all attended university in the United States. They honed their games, you know, at U.S. academies and universities. And, you know, the level of play was outstanding. The enthusiasm that they showed, they were so gracious and so honored to be the first ones to get to play the golf course on, you know, in their home country. A couple of them came up to me and said they can't believe a golf course of this caliber exists in Brazil. It had never existed in their country before. So, you know, it could not have gone better. I mean, the wind didn't blow. The golf course was a little bit soft because at that point in time in March, we were really focused more on growing grass as opposed to grooming it for a tournament because we needed, you know, the summertime, so we needed that extra bit of maturity. So I don't think the setup was incredibly difficult. And I think, you know, Mike Davis was there looking at the setup for it as well. And, you know, we kind of talked with his committee as to how that might ultimately impact the way we set up the golf course for when the Olympians show up. So a lot of positives came out of it. We learned an awful lot. And I think that the setup team is really, really looking forward to getting back out on the golf course in what would typically be more windy and dry conditions in August.
How involved have you been? Well, we know you left an incredible staff down there that was trained right there on the property. How much time have you actually spent down there, or did you design it and say, okay, here you go, guys?
You know, we kind of did. I mean, I was down there for the test event, but you know, you're absolutely right. Neil Cleverly, the golf course superintendent, has done an amazing job. I mean, and we worked together side by side for 2 years building the place. He was there as project manager and then obviously as growing superintendent. So he's smart enough that if he didn't learn enough over the 2 years of listening to me blab at him about how we'd like to see the golf course set up and how we'd like to see it play, you know, I don't feel like I need to go down there and you know, stand by his side and say, remember, we talked about this. You know, ultimately, you know, probably the most underappreciated profession in all of golf are the golf course superintendents. And we've got a really special one down there. So I have complete faith that Neil and his crew, which he trained, Cal Roth, the PGA Tour agronomist, Mark Johnson, the PGA Tour agronomist for Latino America Tour, those guys are going to do everything that needs to be done, so they don't need me standing over their shoulder. But we'll get down there before the games, you know, kind of look at many last-minute tweaks, mowing lines, et cetera. But I don't anticipate any changes. I'm certain they'll have it in great shape.
Our guest is Gil Hance, golf course designer extraordinaire, of course, designing the Olympic golf course. And we actually had a chance, Gil, to talk to Neil Cleverly last week on the program. That was the second time he's come on with us. What a character he is. And he mentioned to us, telling that story about being down there, that he's been down there for 3 years now, lived down there. He talked about his crew, and he talked about that, hey, there are no concerns health, safety-wise, from his standpoint. What about from your standpoint? What were your results in the time that you spent down there? We hear these guys talking about why they're not going. What did you see?
Well, you know, Touchwood had no problems at all. I mean, we actually, you know, you understand you're living in a different country than the United States. You accept the, you know, what comes along with that. But our experience in Rio was a positive one. I mean, we're fully intending. I mean, we have our tickets. My wife, our two daughters, and our son are going to be down there. All the guys that worked on the crew shaping the golf course with us, Jim Wagner, my partner, and his wife, we're all planning on going down. We're hopeful it'll be the experience of a lifetime. Like I said, we're excited to see whoever is out there play our golf course and excited to be part of the Olympics. I've never been to an Olympic Games, and so I think it'll be very exciting, and to have had a part in helping tell the story of one of the sports there, I think that's, you know, it's an honor first and foremost, but it'll be something I think we'll always treasure.
Are you going to get to go see some of the other events?
We are. Yeah, we're hopeful to get down there. And actually just had an incredible honor bestowed on me. I'm so excited. I just found out yesterday that they've asked me to run with the torch in the relay, and not into the stadium or anything like that, but as it goes through Rio, I'll get a little time carrying the torch, which is, you know, it's, you know, once in a lifetime opportunity, and an incredible honor that they've asked me to do that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Do you train for that now? How far? I remember when it came through Atlanta, nobody was carrying it for very long, but I'm sure they were carrying it for longer than I could carry it. What did they tell you about this?
No, they haven't said anything, but Tracy, my wife, said you better start training. You don't want to fall down or you know, have a cramp and grab your side halfway through however long you carry it. So I'll try. I'm used to walking around our site, so I'm in fairly good shape, but I may have to suck it up and jog a little bit before I go down there.
That is terrific. Gil, I have to ask you, because the last time we spoke was right after Trump Doral reopened and the magnificent redesign that you did there. At that time, could you have imagined that your boss on that project was going to be this close to the Oval Office?
Yeah, sure. You can always imagine anything with Donald. I mean, he's an amazing individual. So I would never say never when it comes to him. I think it's been quite an interesting process we've been through in the last year. It'll be interesting in the next 4 or 5 months before the election. But he's, like I said, nothing would ever surprise me when it comes to Donald Trump.
Well, now I have this question as well. Speaking of Donald Trump, can you make money off of designing the Olympic golf course? Has this been good for you and your design business?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the project itself, we didn't get rich off of it, but it – you know, ultimately, I think that this placed us in a situation where we're now considered for a lot of potential jobs that we may not have been considered before. I think within the golf industry prior to the Olympic announcement, you know, we had a nice reputation and for the quality of work that we do. But I think that now this has become, you know, put us in a completely different class. And so it, without a doubt, it's added tremendously to the projects we get visibility on. And, you know, it's made it one of the more difficult things. And I've said this before is, you know, we have such great opportunities. We have to be careful not to get too large. And if I still enjoy getting on the bulldozer, putting the earbuds in and listening to music and being creative. And if I ever kind of lose that opportunity and just spend more time, you know, going to meetings and courting clients, then I think we've actually lost the battle. So that would be a bad result, but so far so good.
You've done quite a bit of media lately. We saw you at Oakmont. How'd you like that?
I love it. It's funny. I did it last year at Chambers Bay. You know, Mark Loomis at Fox is a member at Winged Foot, and we've restored the East Course there and continue to work on the West Course. And so I've gotten to know Mark a little bit, and when Fox was given the rights to do the USGA events, he thought, you know what, this might be an interesting perspective. He'd seen me speak a couple times at the club and thought I might be able to handle it. So I was appreciative of his interest, and you know, it's fun. I love my day job. I'm not leaving that, but you know, 1 week a year to get to go in and really study and look at, you know, great golf course and try to figure out maybe I can bring a little something to the audience, a little bit of an understanding of the design or the maintenance, that aspect of it. I think it's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed it. My goal was not to throw up on national TV or to embarrass my kids. And so 2 years in a row, I've been able to do both. So maybe we'll try it again.
Yeah, your kids are still young enough now. When they get to be teenagers, it's actually a pleasure to embarrass them.
John's kids are right there in the room with him, Gil. And they're embarrassed. yeah. Gil, thank you for your time, and congratulations on all the success. I'm glad to hear that you and the family is going, you guys are all going to go down there.
Yes.
And hopefully bask in some of this that you have earned. We really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for a lot of great answers.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you for having me on. Take care.